This is an extra episode of UFO Encounters. This episode I'm reading from Trey Hudson's book, Return to the Meadow, Further Adventures at the South Skinwalker Ranch. When I have guests on my podcasts, I read their books to work out questions for the episodes. When reading these books, I always find such amazing information that never makes it into the podcast, and here I get a chance to give you a peek into the book. I've put a link to the book in the show notes, and I did seek permission to record the extract from the book, and the author kindly said yes. I've chosen to read an extract from Chapter 4, which is titled The Colorado Mystery, and this is what Trey has written. Jim and the older boy Joe drove to an area on the ranch with a large burned spot about 35 feet across. This area held particular interest for the people on the ranch because they noticed that nothing would grow there during their first year at the ranch. Their visit was at night, and they had parked in the burned-out circle facing away from the tree line. In the distance, they noticed a yellow light coming from the trees and illuminating the automobile's rear end. The light was a dull yellow, like an old incandescent car headlight. Jim recollects, "We got out and walked over, and there was a box on the ground. I told Joe to stay back about 10 feet. It was making a buzzing sound, just like zzzz, and there was a light inside it, but not on it. Hard to describe. It was night, but there was a full moon, and as I walked to about 4 feet from it, it changed its tone entirely. It sounded like a bunch of angry bees. The sound went up, and I backed away and told Joe to go back to the car and watch me as I walked up to the box. We then went back to the car, and I told Joe, whatever happens, do not leave the car. Then I walked back, and the box was gone. Following that is the part that Barbara prefers I leave out." Barbara then entered the interview. She said, "Absolutely." The investigator asked, "Are you leaving it out because it's personally embarrassing, because it is terrifying?" Jim says, "Too incredulous. That's the part that is too kooky, frankly. And she requested that I didn't. And I don't think that close encounters of the third kind are really that interesting to anyone except those to whom they happen." Barbara interjected, "If something should happen, something should go wrong, and our names should be connected with this, I could face it, but I could not face this other situation. And I'm too psychologically upset, almost destroyed, by this whole thing anyway. And I'm trying very hard to keep from feeling that I experienced something that I didn't experience, or did experience it, and I can't remember, or what." At this point, Barbara is shaking so badly she can hardly light her cigarette. She has been practically chain-smoking since the beginning of the narrative. After Jim and Joe's encounter with the buzzing box, an incident occurred that Jim described as a close encounter of the third kind, using the famous classification system developed by J. Allen Hynek in his 1972 book, The UFO Experience, A Scientific Inquiry. Hynek describes the third type of close encounter as UFO encounters in which an animated entity is present. These include humanoids, robots, and humans who seem to be occupants or pilots of a UFO. What incident had such a negative emotional effect on Barbara that she feels the occurrence came close to destroying her psychologically? Later, Barbara acquiesces and agrees to allow Jim to elaborate on what happened during his visit to the box. Jim describes the night's event in his own words. "Well, the night we saw the box, I stopped at the top of the hill and looked down into the trees, and there was a light in the trees. I told Joe to go on to the house, and I walked down to the trees. I think the closest I ever came to being afraid. I didn't feel fear in that sense, but my legs wouldn't move. I had to force my legs to take me down because I didn't know what I would see. I walked down to the light, and two individuals were waiting for me in the light. The light didn't come from anywhere. I can't describe it. It was just light. They weren't nervous, and as soon as I walked up, they spoke to me by my name and told me, I can't quote it exactly, 'How nice of you to come.' It was just as though I had been expected. Down below, possibly 50 to 60 feet from us, was a disc on the ground. It was lightly lit, just light enough to see. I can describe it exactly. I've burned that into my memory. I was up there maybe 5 minutes. They apologized for the inconvenience they caused us, told us that a more equitable arrangement would be worked out, whatever that means. I wanted to ask a lot of questions, but found that I didn't. You know, like, where are you from? I didn't ask any of that. There are several things they asked me not to repeat that have no significant meaning at all. They are unrelated to anything. I think that maybe they were checking to see if I would keep my mouth shut. I told them that if they were mutilating cattle, it was very foolish to do so and draw that much attention to themselves. I complained about the damage to the cars. They never admitted to doing any of it. One thing they did do was they mentioned the box and that I did the right thing backing away from it. It was what I called an implied threat. They nodded, and approximately 20 to 30 feet away, Bigfoot, as I called him, got up and walked toward the box. The box changed tone and he dropped. They said, "As you can see, they are quite lethal." They said that they would come back and talk again. There were no goodbyes. I just felt that somehow it was time to go. They did tell me that my memory wouldn't be tampered with. I think that's about it. When asked about the appearance of the visitors, Jim described them as about 5 feet 6 inches, wearing tight-fitting flight suits that changed colour. Their hair was blonde, and their features were vaguely effeminate. Their large eyes were striking, but not to the degree that they could not pass as humans, albeit humans whose appearance was slightly off. Over time, Jim had discovered a way to stir things up and force the phenomena to manifest during visits by guests of the ranch. Jim learned that if he took a bundle of ordinary wires to the burn spot and pretended to be constructing some apparatus or device, strange happenings would quickly occur, almost as if in response. The response was particularly extreme if silver was used during Jim's activities. One weekend, they had a friend and his daughter from Texas visiting, named Dan. Dan was an electronics expert with his own tech firm, which specialised in the emerging field of computers and information technology. Calling Dan a sceptic would be a bit of an understatement. Jim decided to prove Dan wrong. Jim went to the burn spot with some silver jewellery and assorted wires and once again pretended to construct something elaborate in that barren site. He returned to the ranch house and the group decided to play the game Risk for the rest of the night. At 2 a.m, the lights suddenly went out, as they had before, indicating that the household power had been disrupted. To everyone's surprise, an electronically generated voice seemed to emanate from every electronic device simultaneously. The phantom voice gave this strict warning: "Attention. We have allowed you to remain. We have interfered with your lives very little. Do not cause us to take action which you will regret. Your friends will be instructed to remain silent concerning us." When the lights came back on, Dan was almost giddy. He quickly exclaimed, "Now I am in the field." He asked permission to disassemble the television and stereo set to see if he could find a logical explanation, promising to put everything back in order afterwards. All of Dan's efforts proved fruitless. Despite his zeal to prove a hoax, he could not find a technical reason for the voice and its ominous warning. Dan and his daughter fled the ranch the next day. One of the last reported incidents was perhaps the most uncanny of all. John had returned to the ranch one weekend. John and Barbara were asleep in the bedroom and Jim was dozing on the couch in the main living area. At 2 a.m, Jim was jolted from a deep sleep into full consciousness. He was startled to discover he was paralysed yet wide awake. He could still peer out of the French doors while in this immobile state. He also recognised he could not speak and only made faint guttural sounds. However, the grunts and gasps were loud enough to wake John in the next room. Upon hearing Jim's struggles, John attempted to wake Barbara from her deep sleep. All this time, Jim had perfect vision outside the French doors. He saw something that made a vivid and lasting impression in his field of view. Outside the window was a fragile, 7-foot-tall humanoid-like creature. The being wore a type of control unit on its chest that was generally box-shaped. Coming out of the box on each side were 3 hoses. Over the creature's head was a plastic or glass bowl-type helmet. The general impression of the being was that it was something to be pitied based on its appearance. The visitor regarded Jim in his paralyzed state the same way a physician might view a surgical patient, cold and indifferent. When John finally roused Barbara, they quickly went to Jim's aid. The creature had vanished by the time they entered the living room. All the ranch occupants once believed they were moving towards a less eventful stage in their relationship with the others, but this latest incident was the tipping point. The families eventually left the ranch and put it up for sale. This episode I was reading from Trey Hudson's book, Return to the Meadow, Further Adventures at the South Skinwalker Ranch. If you want to buy the book, there is info and a link in the show notes. A great way to support the podcast is to sign up on Patreon. On the Alien UFO Podcast Patreon, when you sign up for $6 a month, you get an extended episode every week. For $3 a month, you get an extended episode every month. If you want to give the extended episodes a try, there is a 7-day free trial. Just go to patreon.com/alienufopodcast. And if you enjoy this podcast, please leave a review and be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or via your favourite podcast app to make sure that you don't miss out on any episodes. And thanks for listening.